Right. What can happen if we don't know God, we don't have God in our lives, we can become self-centered. And as you can see, actually Andre and I were working on this a couple of weeks ago, weren't we, Andre? Yeah. We were doing this together. So, self-centered, self-serving, selfish. It's quite interesting how many things you've got self in front of, isn't it, really? Yeah. Self-dependent, lover of self, all those sort of things. Now, I was thinking about how we bring up children. Like, if you really spoil your children, you meet all their desires, you give them everything they want. And the word I got was parent mandate. We go beyond the parent mandate, which is to look after our children. You can go too far and you can give them everything. And children then can learn to have no responsibility, an attitude of entitlement, or a lack of empathy. These are the kind of things that happen when you spoil a child. And the problem is when that stops and the parent can no longer look after the child, can no longer support the child, what do they do with it? Do they take it into the church? Do they take it into their marriage? So there's lots of different ways that can work out. So I think we're partly part of a generation now that does have that kind of attitude of entitlement. And that's one way in which people become self-centred. There's also the other way, which is where parents encourage their children to be self-reliant, self-motivated, and self-accountable. It should sound like it's a really good thing, but also that can lead to a similar point where people actually go all out to pursue what they want to achieve for themselves. It's all about me. I'm going to achieve the things I want to achieve. I'm going to have the money I want. I'm going to have the job I want. I'm self-motivated, self-empowered. I'm going out there. These are the different ways. There's two different ways. And of course, people might have some of those or all of those. I'd probably come under the spoiled child to a certain extent. Anyway, that's another story. So, people then believe that self, everything revolves around them. Then we have another approach, which is God-centered. Now, if you want to teach our children properly, I think that you have to teach them the God-centered approach, to have God at the centre of everything. So when we have an issue or a problem or whatever, that we seek God first, we go to God and we seek the help. And I think it's something that I was taught when I was younger, to a large extent, but could have been taught even more. And I think it's something we should do more and more of, because we can leave God as a last resort if we're not careful. So we teach them to be God to be the centre, because then God takes the burden. It's all about us, and us doing everything, and being self-motivated. What happens when you get to the end of self? Where do you go? Well, it's no surprise in some ways that the suicide rate for men under 50 is like the biggest killer. It's the biggest killer in the country for people under 50 through suicide, because I think they get to the end of themselves. Right. Where do they go? John 14, verse 6. I'm intending to rattle through these chapters and verses because I might get you to look up, but I think I don't want to slow down because I haven't got that long. So it says, John 14, verse 6 says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Go for it.
I thought I would have got further than that before I started.
No, come on.
Come on. Sorry.
Your live streamed on Facebook.
So.
No pressure.
So we're doing the reading on Friday with people, and before I even started, I started crying. Mm-hmm. The person came up and I was going, oh my goodness. So that's about rebirth. So let's think about rebirth. So what if it all messes up? We can turn to God. That's what rebirth is, isn't it? It's turning to God. He enables us to start again, to leave self behind, to find life in abundance, mm-hmm. and access eternal legacy. The temple. So here's a picture of the temple, a very kind of abbreviated version of the temple, Sharon and Kelly. And we got the way, the truth, and the life. They're the three sections. And this is, I got this from Mark Virgil, something he produced. So let me just turn my page. So we see here the model of the temple. The altar is in the outer courtyard place, no matter the change. The outer court, there's the altar. That's where the people made the sacrifice. to atone for their sin. Is that right, Mary? Yeah. And that was a blood covering. That was like a precursor for Christ come along. And that was like that's what he was going to become, the ultimate sacrifice. And that is the way. So this is the first part, which is the way. This is the way back to God through Jesus. He creates a blood sacrifice. The blood protects us and brings us the way back to God. So I've got some notes here. I put, we make the confession and say the prayer and declare, then I'm turning over myself to Christ. It is to die to self, becoming God-centered. This is being born again. We have made spiritual changes, and this means change in our earthly life. We give ourselves to him and lay it at the cross. He took ourself onto himself and conquered death, so that we can be born again, being dead to self and alive to Christ, with him at the centre. This is God-centred life. We give everything over to him. It's giving everything. Everything. When things go wrong or become tough, what do? Do we return to our dead self? Self-centered approach? Or do we turn to life, a God-centered relationship? Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus makes the way back to the Father. Like newborn children, that's where I was to go back a bit. The next bit I've got is the crying baby. The crying baby cries for attention. I need help. I'm hungry. I need a change. Like newborns, children of God, we have an option. Do we seek the Father or Papa God, or do we return to our old self position? Do we leave Papa as a last resort? So what do we do in our distress? Wander from room to room in our saggy, soiled nappy, hoping the environment and the atmosphere will change, when what we need is God to change us in partnership with him. All the poop the world has dumped has to be dealt with and ditched. To change the atmosphere, you have to get rid of the root problem. So sometimes we think, well, it's everybody else that's the problem, and actually, no, it's us, and we need to change. I think sometimes when you're not following God, then you tend to blame everybody else, and it's actually you. Now, you can look this up if you want, but I'm reading from the Passion Translation, so you probably won't be able to follow it anyway very easily. But it's Philippians 3, verses 7 to 9. So that's Philippians 3, 7 to 9. Yet all of my accomplishments, this is Paul speaking, yet all of the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I have now forsaken them. I regard them as nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord. Truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past, throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap. It is like a pile of poo. Manure isn't the right word. A pile of poo to me now. So I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord in all of his greatness. My passion is to be consumed with him and not clinging to my own righteousness based in keeping the written law. By righteousness will be his, based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. So, also in the outer court is the labour. It's not up there, but that's okay. And that is where you got cleaned up and you purified yourself before you went into the holy place. Psalm 51, verse 7 says, purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. The Passion Translation says, purify my conscience. Make this leper clean again. Wash me in love until I'm pure in heart. Here we are. That number doesn't correlate. No, that's okay. Learning to walk. Okay, this is like the next stage. We're now coming into the holy place and we're learning to walk. We've been kind of shuffling around on our bum for a bit and maybe learning to stand. But now we're going to start walking with God. Then the trouble is sometimes people get stuck in the outer court. They make the commitment and they make the stand and they say the prayer. And they just get stuck there, not getting the solid food. So, In a second, I'm going to play a track, and I want you to take this prophetic thing. We're actually going to prophetically walk around the church. If you can't do it, then don't do it, that's fine. But I want you to do it in a meditative way and just see it as a kind of proclamation. It's like walking out of the whole thing. So. You begin to learn from the sound of your parents' voice, you learn the tone and the meaning, and you take what they say as truth, whether or not it is. This is why the lies of parents have such an impact and do so much damage. So, the Bible says, "My sheep know my voice." And how do we learn to hear his voice? By spending time with him, by actively listening to him, and by reading his word. When we do this, we learn the truth about him and the truth about ourselves. The lies are things like, you are no good, you'll never amount to anything, nobody can ever love you, you have to work and play hard to achieve in life. It's also a lie. When you get to the end of yourself, what is left? God will tell you the truth. The truth enables you to shed the lies of those things that constrict you. You have to be prepared to give them over to God. Not to hide the guilt and the shame that's already dealt with. You have to open up the rooms of your heart. Now, every year in our family, we celebrate Passover. And one of the things you're supposed to do at Passover is clear out all the leaven from the house. And that means all the things with yeast in have to be cleared out of the house. It's a rule. And you only have unleavened bread. That's without the yeast. Because the yeast is like sin, it grows. It's a picture of how sin grows. So in Exodus 12:15, it says, "For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seven, that through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. So it's quite important. You don't. It's like, imagine if you didn't do it in the church and say, well, I'm sorry, guys, you have to leave the church because you didn't get rid of all the leavened bread out. So it's, you've got to do that with your heart, which is saying, right, okay, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you everything. I'm not going to hide anything in my heart. I'm not going to hold on to any of that sin, any of that shame. I'm going to give it to you. Sounds easy, doesn't it? So yes, Christ takes away our sin on the cross and he makes a way back to God, but we have to give everything, sin and shame, over to him. We want to live fully with him. Next bit I have is learning your name, learning who you are. There are many people in the Bible that have their names changed, and I just wanted to read this bit of passage here, which is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We have to actually ask, we have to give over. We have to give over everything to God. And I was still looking at Bible names. Abraham, Abraham's name changed, and his name changed from High Father to Father of the Multitude. Sarai was my princess, and her name became Mother of Nations. And Gideon, when he was called, when he was hiding in the grape press, was called Mighty Warrior. So we might have our human names, which often, strangely enough, are actually completely correct, but sometimes there are names he has for us. Now, I kind of, for fun, I thought I'd look up Native American names, and I just thought they're quite interesting. So there's Shenandoah, which is beautiful daughter of the stars. There's Pocahontas, which is playful. There's Peta, which is golden eagle. Kind of like that one. There's Mansi, which is plucked flower. And there's Canada, which I never knew this, but it comes where the name Canada comes from, which means where the heavens lay upon the earth, the horizon. I kind of like that one. But I thought this one could be more appropriate for some of us sometimes. Abiqua, which is stays at home. Just saying. Right. So your name can define you, but you can also have a heavenly name. When you talk to Zach and you use his name, he looks straight at you. He already knows his name. He already knows his name. How many months is it? 4 months. He'll look straight at you. Revelation 3:12, it says, for the one who is victorious, I will make you to be a pillar. This is from the Passion Translation. For the one who is victorious, I will make you a pillar in the sanctuary of my God, permanently secure. I will write your name. I will write on you. You should come up here, tell me. Right, let's try again. I will write on you the name of God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, descending from my God out of heaven, and I will write my own name on you. Now, a while back, I had a dream, and in this dream, I had one of those like clear umbrellas, like the really tacky ones, and I was stood there, and this light came through the umbrella from God. It's like really, I just can't explain what the colours were like, but they were very bright, and it was just amazing. And all the names of God kind of printed onto my body in Hebrew, which I can't read Hebrew, but I knew the names of God, because you know these things in dreams, don't you? When God tells you things. And I didn't really, I kind of understood it a bit, and I read this passage preparing for this, and I thought, wow, he's put his name on us. We're part of his family. It's like his surname. John 14:12 says, very, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and will do even greater than these, because I'm going to the Father. So with that name, we can cast out, build up, bind up, lock and unlock. We can do all sorts of things with that name. We carry that seal on us. But if we're not careful, we can just wander around like orphans. We can pray like orphans and wander around like lost orphans. But we're not orphans. We carry the name of God upon us. Ephesians 1:5 Ephesians 1, verse 5 says, God descended in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. He has a place for us. My father's house has many dwelling places. This is John 14:2-4. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you to rest. And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. And you already know the way to the place where I'm going. We've already known the way, so it's come out of the outer court morning. The truths are that we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. The truths are we can heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, and freely you receive and freely you should give. We no longer are slaves to sin. The person who has died has been freed from sin. Romans 18:8-17. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost beings. You are a beloved child. And since we are his true children and we qualify to share in all his treasures, for indeed we are heirs of God himself, and since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. That's Romans 8:16-17. The next section is training children to eat. Right, when I was growing up, my parents taught us how to eat good food. My mum was a home economics teacher, which helped. So she'd go and make one thing at school and we'd have lasagna for a week. Then she discovered she could freeze things and there was some questions about it. But we had a good diet. We went through phases of actually being banned from eating crisps because she had a bit of health kit and said, right, no more crisps, and that lasted for about a couple of weeks. No more sausages, that lasted for about a couple of weeks. So we did go through phases of health and things. But having said that, they did give us a soda stream, so that was a bit silly anyway. So we had very sugary drinks on tap. Great. But when we were growing up, we learned to eat things that we didn't want to eat. So you have things like broccoli or something, or spinach, I don't know, all sorts of things. Well, you can have a little bit on your plate. Just a little bit. You don't have to have a lot, just a little bit. Just eat that bit, that's fine. And then we learned to develop a taste for it. So now I can eat things like broccoli and cabbage. And I'm learning to eat things like curry, spicy things. But if we didn't do that, if we hadn't done that, our diets would be really bland. You know, we would have a really bland diet. In Psalm 34:8-14, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. So we've got a whole load of things that God gives us, gives us a complete brain to taste. It says, continues, do you know of any parent who would give his hungry child who seeks for food a plate of rock instead? Or when it asks for a piece of fish, that parent would offer him the child's snake instead? If you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what's best, how much more ready is your Heavenly Father to give you wonderful gifts to those who ask him? So you have to seek him, you have to ask him. That's 7:9-11. So why am I not entering into the glory and into the presence of God and don't see the power? I think it's probably that we're not prepared to give up self and become like a little child. we can become wrapped up in the unimportant stuff, and we really need to get back to the basics in the heart, in the holy place, going to the secret place and spending time with Jesus and his word. To enter the life that has to be a supernatural encounter. 1 Corinthians 3:1-4. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live in the Spirit. This was to the elders in the church and to the ministers of the church. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Christ, I gave you milk and not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you were still not ready. You are still worldly. But since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like more like humans? I like that. It's kind of art, but yeah. It's humans. For one says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere human beings? We're more than just human beings. When the people saw... the next one I've got is... this is when Moses... it's Exodus 20, verse 18 to 23. You might want to look that up. It's going to be quite a long bit, this bit. Exodus 20, 18 to 23. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that that the fear of God will be with you and keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. And then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites this. You have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make yourself gods of silver or gold. Silver or gods of gold. And it's like really amazing because you kind of like the whole temple thing and the whole having to go into the Holy of Holies is partly down to them not choosing to listen to God, but to actually just listen to his mouthpiece, as it were. So you're listening to the messenger, not to God himself. And why wouldn't you want to do that? So obviously they were scared, but we can be like that. We can say, right, okay, you've got Sharon and Andy or whoever, or any of the leaders may be, let them get the word and speak it to us. There is a difference between knowing the truth and being in touch with the truth and hearing from God, and there's another way of knowing it but not walking in it. It's a difference. Mm-hmm. If we take responsibility for our own walk, mm-hmm. then it's a much more powerful thing. And this is maybe why we don't see the things that we want to see. Maybe we don't see the power. We don't spend time with God. And I put my hand up as well. I don't do enough of that. That's perfectly true. And I kind of think we should have Kanye again, but I'm not going to do that. Right. So next bit is learning to God, learning to walk. But this is now learning to fly. This is taking us back to the garden, really, to walking with God. We find life when we come into God's presence. It is to enter the Holy of Holies, to enter his presence. It is to leave everything of self and part with God. It is to be childlike and to explore everything that God has for you. So this is entering a different kind of strength of power with God. It's actually getting to the point where we actually can fly. You know, it's getting beyond the walking. And then we start seeing things like Tammy. It's amazing what she's had. And I think it's because of her childlike innocence and just coming to God. I'm sure of it. And she's open to listen to that. And that's why she sees things. So, this may be why we don't see fruit always. We need to just seek him. And seek all with all our senses. Seeking him, you know. We're not, some of us are analytical, some of us are visual, but you have to strengthen both sides. Children learn from watching their parents. Children learn what it means to be human by coping with what, with copying what their parents do, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Bible says, Jesus gave them the answer, "Verily I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father do, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." That's John 5:19. And how do we see what the Father does? We can see what the Father does by looking at his word and by seeing what Jesus did. But we also have Christ in us and the counsel of the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural event. Why don't we see the results? Why don't we see revival? Why is it so hard to read the Bible? Why is it so hard to be evangelist? It's because all these things come from relationship with the Father. When Toronto happened, and it happened to hit our church, it was amazing because at that time, when the Holy Spirit hit us, it was like, Mary and I went forward because we felt called to go forward as a couple, not as an individual. And our pastor at the time said, let's have couples up. Because he looked at us and thought, couples. So we went up and it was just like, now what happened? Did we fall over? No. My legs were a bit heavy, I can't remember what Mary felt. And then, but we didn't fall over, but it was transformational. Suddenly I could read my Bible. Suddenly it wasn't so hard to be an evangelist. It's when we come closer to him, the other things become, they can fade into insignificance. It's about giving him the time. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And that's just giving it over to God and not worrying. Now, I'm a bit of a worrier. I always have been a bit of a worrier, but I'm not anymore, because I'm learning. I'll break that off now. But you get something pings up from the bank saying, "Oh, we're overdrawn." Immediately, "Oh no." So, but it's not, it's just saying to God, "Look, I'm going to give it to you and not worry about it." And it's hard to do sometimes, but it's something you've got to do. You've got to just give it over. And the other thing I was going to say was, before I finish, is that we take on the characteristics of the Father. Now, we've got some really close friends of ours who have adopted. And the adopted daughter's really like the mother, but she's not our mother. And I think there's like a supernatural adoption that happens with adoption, with earthly adoption, but also with God. The more we get closer to God, the more we become like him. And God has so much more for you. He has so much more for you to give to other people, to share. So that's it. So, I hope that was clear amongst all the tears and my mind maps, which I actually abandoned in the end. I'm just trying to keep things flowing as much as possible, and that's why I tried that today. And there were so many things that I wanted to specifically say to you, which I felt God was saying. I don't want to mess them up. I wanted you to hear the ideas and what God's saying. So it's being childlike is the key. Okay.
Cool.
Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come together in this place. Thank you that we're in the nursery. We're in the nursery today. And Lord, I thank you that we, as children of yours, we would actually seek you and more each day, that we spend more time with you in the secret place, Lord. Not just be reliant on our leaders, Lord, but listen to you on a one-to-one basis. Well, I know that you want us to have up-to-date truth and up-to-date knowledge and wisdom. And Lord, I pray that we would learn to hear clearly. Amen.